Hello and welcome to Squid Pro Quo, a Squid Game podcast where there are only three rules. One, a player is not allowed to stop podcasting. Two, a player who refuses the podcast will be eliminated. And three, the podcast will be terminated if the majority agrees. I'm one of your hosts, Sean.
And I'm Mike, and we are Gonbu for life.
Gonbu
baby.
For life. I actually didn't remember what we said after I read the numbers, so I just kind of went for it.
I don't think we have like a bit. We just kind of say whatever. But today we are covering, it's finally here, Squid Game, the reality show. I forgot what the actual name of the show is. The Challenge. I was like, it's something like that. And let me tell you, we just watched the first episode. Well, I just watched the first episode. You watched it a little earlier today.
Yeah.
And I am blown away.
Yeah.
At how into this show I am.
I think we're both really into this. And so
yeah.
I want to preface all of this by saying that this show is still really stupid. And I saw an interview today on Twitter. I was just scrolling through and I saw a quote from one of the executive producers whose name was Tim Harcourt. And I just want to read this quote because it's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. And I want to preface with that before we talk about how incredible this show is. This guy said, for us, talking about the original Squid Game, he says, for us, the anti-capitalist allegory is only one very small part of Squid Game.
I'm sorry.
I often say to people, Star Wars is about swashbuckling rebels overtaking an empire. But people don't necessarily just focus on that as being about freedom or being about anti-imperialism.
Holy shit. No way, dude. Come on. Was that the end of the quote?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh my god. Oh. Tell me you completely don't understand Squid Game.
Yeah.
Just without telling me.
So I have a theory though.
Okay.
And my theory is that the people in the editing room understand.
Yeah.
Because the way this is edited, I feel like they kind of get it. Like they're in no way is this like cool.
There has been nobody, with maybe the exception of the mom, mm-hmm. who has been made to look like a nice or cool person.
Yeah. And again, we're only talking about like episode one. So
right.
Who knows what, you know, there's going to be nine more episodes. There's four out at this point. But like, who knows how it'll progress. But even like, it almost feels like it's trying to hit a similar commentary on like the human condition. And like, it's almost like, we've seen what it's like when the stakes are so high. Now look at how fucking quickly people will fall apart when the stakes are so low.
Right.
You know, like,
no one's going to die from this, but it's just like money. You're either going to get money or you don't. And let's see how quick you turn on each other. It's like the fucking, it's not even the same. It's like the fucking Dark Knight boat thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That is legitimately okay. And I don't know if this is a, because I was thinking about this while I was watching it. I don't know if this is a Netflix reality show thing, because I haven't watched most of the Netflix reality shows, but I have seen Too Hot to Handle. And Too Hot to Handle is similar, where it's like, it feels like it's taking the piss out of the genre that it's kind of doing. And that's how this feels a little bit.
It's so crazy you said that, because I was going to say Love is Blind.
I haven't watched Love is Blind.
While Tara recently had surgery and I stayed home with her for a week, we watched a whole fucking season of Love is Blind.
Okay.
And like, Love is Blind is there. It's like a bunch of single people in this like pod and they can't see the person, but they get like a bunch of time to talk to the different people mm-hmm. through a wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to propose to someone. Well, they don't have to, but at the end, you can propose to somebody based on just talking to them without seeing them.
Yeah.
And then they get to see each other, but then the show follows them as they like live together. Right? Because it's like, it's an experiment. And it's like some of the most car crash worthy like television you'll watch. And I, Tara and I were watching it and she got kind of bummed by it because it's like very like cynical, you know? Because it's like the people that like survive, you know, no spoilers on any of it, but like there's people that like, they could do the reunion show at the end and the people are like, I was never really in on it. And that, you know what I mean? And so it's like a really cynical thing. And so she didn't want to watch anymore, but I was sitting there like, man, I kind of want to watch some more Love is Blind, but now I have the Squid Game, the challenge to tide me over for this nonsense, because this is a similar feeling watching Love is Blind. This is more intense. I like this a little more.
It's well made.
It's well made. I'm surprised at how much they played up the elements of like the Squid Game.
Yeah.
Right? Like they got the guys in the control rooms and they got, you know, every time someone moved during red light, green light, they were like, here's the view of the
guys watching it. Yeah.
Right. And I was actually, I'm actually pretty into that they're like,
because
I thought they were just going to go, this isn't really like the Squid Game, guys. No one's going to die. But then they have fucking like blood pockets like exploding on people. You know what I mean?
And when they die, they like quote unquote die. Like they drop like, and we don't hear from them again.
Yeah, they told them to do that, which I think is incredible. And before we dive super far into the episode, you know, we did that bonus episode about, you know, the conditions of this scenario. And watching it, obviously, it's a very edited, slickly edited thing. How much do you buy into what people were saying at this point versus how much do you think of that was just sour grapes from people who lost?
So the part that I don't super buy into is the rigged nature of it. This felt not... I mean, like, a reality TV show is kind of rigged, to, like, you know. But I don't know. The idea of, like, people saying that their ink packets were popping early or they were popping after they'd already gone over, that I don't so much buy. I will say, I have noticed while watching them talking about how cold it was on the sets. I totally buy, because if you watch those people, none of them are running like normal people. They all have their hands in their jacket pockets.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Which, and I could not notice that, was like, people would like be excited and hugging each other and they've got their hands in their pockets like they're
cold. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I
don't understand why that would be the case, because it's like, it looks like, I mean, maybe it's an open roof deal that they're in probably, but it just seemed like it would be an area that wouldn't be cold. I don't really understand.
I don't really understand that. I think that, I don't know. Those were the two big allegations, right?
Yeah, to me, I actually buy into the rigged nature of it, and here's why, Sean.
I
have a theory here. It's not really a theory. It's just something I've noticed. When they get into the dormitories, they have an exact amount of beds.
Is it exact?
Yes. I'm pretty sure they have an exact amount of beds.
Yeah,
and
no,
those beds
would,
are hard to build. So I think they went into this going, we're going to eliminate a certain amount of people.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it was rigged. Obviously, they wanted certain people to win or whatever. But and we'll get into Starla. They opened the show with Starla, who gets eliminated like instantly,
which is really great.
It's incredible.
That's where I think the editing is really good as well, with like lining up with the idea of Squid Game, and like it's very Squid Game to introduce us to this character right at the beginning and then kill them.
Right.
Like
right.
I
guess let's just dive into it. They do a bunch of like, I don't think we're going to recap this in the same way we would Squid Game, just because like I have
notes, a lot of notes,
but like the dialogue's not super important, right? Like,
although I have some quotes written down.
I do have some quotes written down, but it's not like, if you miss a quote, it's not like it's going to be like, I don't know what's happening. Right. They open the show with like people getting like abducted, right? You know,
and
they do
I'll
that
say,
whole thing.
I was worried when it started because I did not like that. I did not like the like them waiting on the street thing. I was like, oh, this is a little, they're trying a little too hard right here to get me to think of Squid Game. And then when they're like flying the drone through the dormitory, I was also like, there's something about being in that space when it's not super controlled camera angles in the terms of the show that I was like, this area's kind of looks cheap. I don't know. Like it doesn't, but it's just the nature of like, you're not picking your shots super. It's not, you're not making a television show. You're just showing off this area, you know? And I was kind of worried at the beginning, but then once we like got into it all and everything was kind of, I don't know. My problems with the opening did not continue throughout the rest of the episode, but I was a little worried at the beginning.
The opening was a little much. I agree. But they after the opening, they kind of start going into these little... They're showing the people getting ready for red light, green light.
I'm sorry, but before we talk about that, I just have to... In the opening, did you see that there's going to be a battleship game?
Oh yeah, they did show a bunch of different games, right? And they're gonna run out of games if they just follow the show. But I didn't see Battleship in particular. But you're right. Full disclosure, I was making SpaghettiOs and meatballs when I watched the intro.
And there's just some lines over the intro that I wanna.
Let me have them.
Throw out. But there were two I wrote down. Which one was? If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Oh yeah. Someone did say that. Yeah. That's right. There was some good lines like over. They didn't accredit them to anybody.
So I don't know who it was, but
it was just like people like saying like things like I'm the best. Ba-da-da-da-da. You know, like stupid like reality show cliche things. You know that people say.
Somebody said my biggest strength would be manipulation.
Yeah. Like stuff you would typically hear on like real world road rules challenge kind of shit. You know what I mean? Where like people are playing up a character. I want to know how they did the casting for this because I think they got some pretty incredible people.
They did. They got some characters in this.
It's starting with Starla, number 318, who says some nonsense, dude.
I got my own dreams.
She talks about her dreams three times in the same sentence. She goes, yeah, I got my own dreams, and they might be big, but, you know, I got my own dreams. And you're
She says something like, do you know what that money could do to somebody? People got dreams. You know, it could pay off your house. It could pay off your car. Do you know what that would be like to pay off your house, to pay off your car? Yeah, I got my own dreams.
She's insane. She's insane. We meet Brighton, 432.
Dude.
Who is maybe my favorite character. And
I think I always will be competitive because Jesus had to compete.
Jesus had to compete. And then the next line he says is, sympathy is a weakness. Yes, you're right. Jesus, known for not showing sympathy to people. Like, what?
He has so many bangers.
He's nuts. He is an absolute sociopath.
Yeah, no, he's crazy. They're showing off, like, so it's structured where it's like we're flashing between shots of them getting ready for red light, green light, while we're getting introduced to the cast.
Yeah.
Or some of the people who will be here or not be here. And I was like, this is pretty quick, but I liked these three people who I have to assume have just met, are standing there getting ready to start. And one guy goes, I work out and you do as well. Not sure about you.
Yeah. Just absolutely destroys the guy. Just insane. And then we also meet number 301, Trey. Looking ass is what I wrote down.
Dude, I thought that too. I was like, am I watching fucking Game Theory? But here's my thing. Mike, I'm a Trey Lever. I'm a Trey Lever, dude. I want Trey. I just made that up in the spot. Ready? You know, like Believer and Trey. I want him to win. I want him to go all the way. He's the only person who hasn't pissed me off yet.
You said Lever, and I was like, you're leaving him?
Like, I'm a Believer.
You
like,
might
I'm
have to workshop Lever, that term a little bit.
Don't worry. We'll work on it. I'll send it up to Embracer. They'll
okay, all right.
Their writers will work on it.
My note here is Trey, Matt Pat looking ass has a mom. That's what I wrote down.
But he's so wholesome too because he's like,
he is.
Hey man, if I lose before her, that'll be embarrassing, but not really because it just means that I have the coolest mom. And I was like, you know what? That's fucking nice.
Right.
Trey, you're the only person here I like.
Yeah, Trey's nice. His mom's nice. We meet Jada, which she tells everybody that means she's number 97 and her name means the gift of knowing. And she just tries to tell us that she's clairvoyant, basically. I know when stuff's about to happen. I can read people. And you're just like, what are you talking about? There are just so many times during this show watching these people talk where I'm doing the fucking, I think you should leave Tim Robinson. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
I just so many times. And then we meet Steven Mullet Man. Who's friends slash rivals with Chase, and he is 100% sure they're going to make it to the end. Spoilers,
like,
guys. Chase dies instantly. Chase fucking dies instantly.
He's in the first round. But he gives this big end, and I think they even, because again, I think the editing is what's really great about the show. I think they show the Squid Game, like the last game of like, you know, the one-on-one. So they're giving you the vibes of like, oh shit, like this is going to be a final battle between two friends, almost brothers, best friends. Like, look, we're going to get to the end. I know we're going to get to the end, and it's going to be a beautiful moment. Chase goes out
instantly.
Immediately. He's one of the first people with Starla.
Yeah. Starla's like the first person they show it out, and I think it's an editing trick. I think she did die in the first round, but I don't think she was the first person's blood thing to pop.
No. That was absolutely like.
But I wrote, Starla is dead. Her dream is dead. Because I was very sad for Starla and her dreams.
Yeah, dude. Rip her dreams, dude. But you know what? Honestly, Starla doesn't have to be here for the rest of this, so.
Congrats to Starla.
Congrats, because Starla, you might not know this, but this is hell.
Yeah.
I was watching this, Mike, and I was like, I'm so glad Mike didn't audition. Yeah. And I'm so glad Mike didn't get in, because this would have been awful.
I don't know. I feel like if I got through red, light, green light, I don't know why I can't say that today, but if I got through that, I think I could have manipulated some people. I think I could have made things go my way.
You think you could have been like a master gaslighter?
I definitely wouldn't have fucked up the way Kyle did, but we'll talk about that later.
I like the, when they're doing red light, green light, I don't know who it was in the lead, but I wrote down they look like Mr. Squid Game. Like, they were in front, and they were walking, like, they were walking like the old guy from the show.
Yeah.
Like, at the front. And I was like, this guy fucking is doing it.
107 finishes first.
Yeah.
And he's very British. Like, he's what's that name of the fucking, he's very, like, attack the block British.
Oh,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, just, hey, bruv, you know, like, very, like, fucking, like, very British. So, I don't know, it might have been him. I wrote some notes here. One person, their thing pops, and they just go, oh, shit, really? And it made me fucking laugh super hard. it's like some older woman, oh, shit, really? I was like, damn, okay. 385 squats when she freezes.
That's my favorite. She goes, why did I squat?
And then she gives up. She's like, the squat is too painful. I have to sit down. It's like the most overdramatic thing.
Can you imagine, like, for some reason you squat. Yeah. You're like, it's the worst day of your life. Right. You don't know why you did that. You can't do it. And they go, we need you to come back in and record voiceover for it. Because it's so good.
Tara and I have been watching a lot of Chopped. And I think about that all the time, how they make some like mistake where they forgot an ingredient or they fucking rinse the noodles in front of the fucking Italian guy or whatever. And then they have to talk about how fucking stupid they are. Like, it's so funny to me. Reality shows are the best.
It's so avoided because, I was shocked when she did it.
Yeah.
I was like, who would fucking squat?
I don't know. I don't know.
You don't need to get low. You don't need to hide from it. Like, I did you could see. Did you see at one point there's a shot where it's like from the side as they're running and one motherfucker dolphin dived?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I don't know why he did that. He just fucking dove. I swear, they had some paid actors in there because some of these people were making dog shit stupid decisions, like just moving clearly after the dial turned around.
I do wonder if maybe some of the paid actor stuff is people paid to get out.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's what I'm
saying.
Some
of the ways, that it's like, what the fuck are you? You fucking dolphin dove.
Right, you dolphin dove? What's wrong with you? So 107 finishes first, like I said, the British guy. Trey, Matt Pat, gets in. And his mom is still out there, and he's flipping the fuck out. Yeah, it is the most tense moment of his life. It's like someone is going to actually shoot his mother if she doesn't make it. That is how he is acting. He has lost his mind. 432 also makes it in. Brighton, who we've met. Jada makes it at some point. So all the people we met besides Starla make it. Because eventually mom gets in as well, which we learn her name later. I don't. It's
I think I wrote it down.
Leanne, is it Leanne?
I think you're right. I think it's Leanne.
But she makes it. And then
Leanne.
Then the timer runs out and fucking number 66, what a fucking loser. He's out there by himself. And he's so far away. He is so far away. Well, how did he not get closer? What was he doing? I was just like, this fucking guy.
I felt really bad. The lady and I felt bad because my immediate thought was, damn, blue hair and pronouns.
Yeah, I saw the blue hair girl too,
She had blue hair. Dude, she was right in front of the line when she went down.
I know.
Like, oh,
blue
man.
Blue hair, see ya. So the game ends, and I believe that they say this later, but 259 people are eliminated.
Yeah.
Which
it's down to 197.
Seems astronomical to me. I feel like while this game, it's not the easiest thing in the world, I feel like more people should have made it. And so that goes into my paid actor theory. I think there were some paid actors here.
Yeah, you know, I could buy it. I could buy it.
Yeah. So they, you know, everybody gets brought into the dorms. And I, like I said, I believe there are a certain amount of beds.
Yeah.
Because it feels it's when they show shots later of people sleeping, like it looks like every bed is full. So to me, I think they wanted that 197 left after that, in my opinion.
So,
but
yeah, that's also another thing about the allegations that I'm a little unclear on, because a big part of that was saying like it was they talked about like contestants being in a hotel room.
Yeah,
and this the show at least definitely tries to present it as if they're sleeping
in
the dormitory.
Maybe before the first game.
Maybe that was it, yeah.
And they definitely sleep in there. They talk about how people didn't get any sleep, and so as people are walking in, Steven and Kyle, the Mullet Brothers, are sleeping together.
Mullet brother for life. You want to sleep with together?
Like, Steven immediately forgets Chase. By the way,
immediately
forgets
about him. So quick.
And also, they show the bathrooms, which look like the ones in the show, and I typed in all caps, are people going to fuck in the bathrooms?
Dude, I was wondering, because I was looking at the beds, and I was like, how long? You know? Because, and I'm going to say, as we get further into the episode, they didn't introduce names, but there are definitely main characters that are hanging around, like Brighton? Brighton's hanging around with this girl throughout this episode.
Yep.
And I don't think they care about it. But you can see some of the like, some of the main characters, quote unquote, like given the eyes to some people who we don't even know their fucking names.
Right, right.
But like, I did like when they were in the bathrooms as well. That was the big reveal. As you know, I was cast. I'm on the show.
Yeah, Dash.
Under the name of Dash, I am here.
I did not write Sean, but I thought about it.
He showed up, and I was like, damn, I'm on the show. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, Dash 141. So we meet quite a few more characters here. We meet, is it Mothy? Mothy?
Yeah.
Number 200.
Which, dude, that poor fucking dude, guy.
I know. He goes around, he's like, hey, I just want to, I'm a very personable person, so I want to go around and meet everybody and talk to them. And you're like, oh, okay, that seems like a decent strategy, right? It isn't. We'll find out later.
Well, you know, I don't know. It might have been a decent strategy. I think he just got unlucky. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. We meet number 232, who's old man Rick.
Dude, Rick might be a sleeper, because I love he's standing there. He looks like the old guy from Squid Game.
Yeah.
Like,
when he's doing...
He's got like a vacant expression on his face. He's just kind of nodding at people. And then because he was talking, he's like, I've got a pretty sharp mind. And I think that's going to be my biggest... And
right.
I'm like... Wait, is he playing up his age in the dorms?
They're talking about people snoring, and he instead of someone going, yeah, I snore, he just goes, me. And then you're like, wait. And then he goes, yeah, I got a pretty sharp mind. I think that's going to help me. People always think old people are stupid. And I'm like, holy shit, Rick. Rick, you're a fucking genius.
It's so smart. I was like, holy shit. I kind of couldn't believe they did the piggy bank thing.
So I wrote, yo, the piggy bank, but I don't think it was as cool as in the show.
Well, because it feels different.
Yeah.
Right? Like, in the show, all of those, like, they put weight behind every like, wad of cash hitting is supposed to be, like, a body. And that's how they film it, and that's how they shoot it, and that's how, like, it's presented to you. Mm. Whereas in this, like, sort of reality game, like, this is what we want. We want the money, you know? So I think it definitely is, like... It doesn't have anywhere near the weight of watching.
Well, I just feel like the money fell slower.
Probably.
Like, it just felt... Like, I get... You're saying thematically. I'm just saying it didn't look as cool. Like, I'm just like,
yeah, I think you're probably right.
Compared
it does. It does. But I think
I love that you thought I was being more highbrow than I am. I was like, no, it looks stupid, Sean.
Well, no, but I think genuinely they would shoot it differently as well. Like,
yeah, that's true. It would be
Dude,
darker in the room. It would light up, and it kind of had like a slot machine noise that played.
And
it
would
it.
Be like closer in on it. Yeah. And I think it was slowed down a little bit. Like,
it was definitely cooler on the show.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
After that game, there's 2.59 million in there.
Yeah.
And Brighton, we get a little sit down with Brighton where he remarks that, you know, he's pretending to be nice to everybody, but he just sees $10,000. One person goes, that's $10,000. Another person
Everyone
goes,
Everyone is just money.
Anyone's just money to him. And then we get the reveal that there will be tests during the non-game sections where someone can either give an advantage to someone in the game or they can eliminate someone in the game.
What and a this, great fucking idea.
This gets everybody, you know. You know, obviously in the show, you could just kill someone in their sleep, and that counts.
Yeah, yeah,
so this is
yeah.
kind of the equivalent of that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Without letting people kill each other in their sleep. And Leanne, that's her name, I have it written down, and MatPat are talking, and he's like, who would you eliminate? And she goes, I'd eliminate one of the bros.
Well, because he's like, I don't know if I could do that. Like, that seems really harsh to eliminate right off the bat. We don't even know any of these people. And she goes, I'd have no problem. I'd eliminate someone. One of the bros. And then it cuts to a group of four guys being led by Brighton.
Yes.
Doing push-ups.
Brighton's Boys Club is what it's called.
Okay. You just watched Barbie, right?
Yeah.
Why do they feel like Kens?
Yeah, they're Kens. They're Kens. They're definitely Kens. they're all like challenging each other to do push-ups and shit.
I'm like, why?
I don't know. I don't remember what Brighton said here, but I just wrote, he is a sociopath. Oh, I remember. Yeah. He was talking about how he is it, basically.
And
was
talking about how. He says, I'm not cocky in the slightest. Yeah.
I'm not cocky in the slightest. I'm just, I love who I am, and God made me the way I am for a reason. And when people complain about their problems in life, I've gone through those same problems, but I'm just not complaining about it like you are. Holy shit.
The
you
same
are
shit
a psychopath.
He said, the same shit that happened to you is the same shit that happened to me. I'm just not complaining about it.
Oh, my God.
I wrote
God.
That line down because it's crazy.
It's absolutely nuts. And especially when you throw it together with his Jesus line from earlier and that sympathy is a weakness.
Yeah.
This
guy's insane.
He is the perfect player for this game. He's athletic. He's good looking. He knows how to talk to people. And he's a psychopath.
He's the mob guy from the show.
He is. Oh, the mob guy was kind of ugly though.
Yeah,
that guy was
kind of
fucked
up. That's true. That's true. No, you're right. No, you're right. Actually, you're right.
So, they have to do chores, which I think is fucking incredible.
Yeah, I thought that was very funny.
People are sweeping toilet paper. How did the bathroom get so dirty so fast? By the way,
they were fucking immediately.
I guess.
We
catch up with Kyle and Danny.
Two people are peeling carrots for all of these people.
101 Kyle, who we met before, he's one of the Mole brothers, and then Danny. It's our first time meeting her. 134. And Kyle goes on, they're peeling carrots together and talking, but then Kyle gets his sit down and he talks about how, you know, people hear his redneck accent and they think he's a dumb piece of trash, but, you know, he can just see it in their face when they hear him talk, but he's actually smart.
Pretty smart, you know, and I let people think that and I play off of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
and
then I let them think I'm stupid.
Goes on to just do the dumbest fucking shit that you
this
could ever imagine.
This is the stupidest. So... They are the ones who get tested, and together they have to decide either to give someone an advantage or eliminate someone.
And this was where I realized, like, because, okay, so initially when they're like, there's going to be tests, and you can give somebody advantage, you can eliminate it, I thought literally they were going to have to do a test, and then they would get the option to do one of those two things if they passed it. But no, that is the test.
They're testing their character, and they, they, you know, say what you want about trying to win the game, but they failed as human beings as far as being decent human beings, right?
Well, what's so fun is they're talking, and they're like, they're like, if we were both, like, you know, if a brother, two brothers are here, and at the end they're still gonna have to fight, you know. Like, everybody's gonna stab each other in the back. It's pretty much they have this whole conversation where they talk themselves into. This idea of, like, everybody is selfish. Everybody just wants the money. But then the interesting thing is, I think he says it. I don't think she does. I think he says, like, this is the best thing, like, for us to win the money.
Right.
And he says, us.
Right.
And I was like, no, that's not, you just had this whole thing together where you talked about, and that's when you,
now,
I think that's going to be a thing. That's my prediction going forward, is I think Kyle is like, we did something together here. It's like us. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think he's fucked.
So here's the thing. I think that if this is a morality test, they failed 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the game, though, I'm not so mad at the idea of deciding to do this.
Yeah, no.
However,
who they choose,
it is clear. It is 100% clear that Brighton is the front runner yeah. to win this game. And I know part of that's yeah. the editing they throw at us. This guy's doing push-ups before he goes to bed. Okay? It is 100%. He's surrounded by these, like, these Kens, these yeah. dominant males. And you pick the guy that's nice to everybody?
Or I was going to say, like, I think somebody else brings up, like, doing it randomly.
Yeah.
Like there's a right way to do this.
But if you want to be strategic, take the guy that's, like, going to fucking... Yeah. If you have to beat this guy in a race, you're not winning. Take him down.
Like, especially when you're talking about, like, if the whole thesis of your argument is, like, everybody will betray each other. At some point, everybody's going to have to fight each other. Why would you pick the nice guy?
Yeah.
They're the guy that's going to have the hardest time with that. Like,
Kyle's an absolute idiot. Because before they even suggest, they talk about Brighton. And they talk about 200. But then he goes, you know, there's a mom and son out there. What? Yeah. What? God, they're going to team up. You're talking about like a literal 60-year-old woman and her very small, malnourished, like 20-something son.
She almost didn't make it.
What are you talking about, Kyle? Kyle, you just talked about how you're not a hillbilly and you're smart. What are you talking about? And so they pick, they don't give us the what they pick, which is smart. Like they want there to be tension. And important thing about this, too, is it's anonymous.
Yeah.
Because
they don't do it until the next day.
I think if it's not anonymous, no one does this.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
Right? People go, oh, I'll give an advantage to somebody, right?
But the thing is, if it's anonymous, you got to not do what Kyle does later in this episode.
They are so, they are so bad at hiding it. Because they come out like they just had sex in the bathroom.
Yeah, everybody's thinking it.
They're like, oh, something. And they're like, what? People are even like, what were you guys doing? Like, they look guilty. And Danny's a little better than Kyle, but like, they're so bad at hiding it. For like Gecko, it's very clear they're so bad at hiding it.
If you could put this image I'm about to send to you on into the podcast, this is the face that Danny makes when she is talking to somebody later on, and she's like, oh yeah, like getting rid of somebody would be the right thing. Like that's what anybody would do. And they go, I don't think I'd do it. And then Danny makes this face.
Yeah.
And if you could just put that into the, you could just put that into the podcast so people can see the visual version of.
Yeah. She does.
This other lady's like, I don't think I'd do that. Actually, I think that would be really fucked up. And Danny's like,
okay. Now, do I think that lady's capping? Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think if that woman was put in the same situation with dumbass Kyle, I think she'd make the decision too.
Yeah, but I think that if you're Danny and Kyle, you don't even bring it up.
No. Like, no, they continue to talk about it. They continue to talk about it throughout the episode. It makes no sense. Stop bringing this up. I wrote multiple times, Danny is trying to justify her decision.
Yeah.
Kyle is trying to justify his decision. They just continue to do it. And I don't, they're idiots.
So we've got Brighton, who is like the main antagonist of the show, it seems like, at the beginning. Like, he's like, if he's like a supervillain, he's like Lex Luthor or like, I don't know, like a really big, handsome, like powerful villain. The Joker's also in this fucking show, Mike, because number 161 Lorenzo is here. This motherfucker is crazy.
He's also, I wrote aggressively Italian. Like,
but is he? He's like, I feel like he loses the accent afterwards. And I don't know if I'm crazy. Because he is. He's aggressively Italian when he's naming all the Italian foods.
Right.
But I feel like maybe I just got used to it. But I feel like I definitely was not picking up on it as much, like, immediately after.
He was definitely, I mean, when he's saying, like, the Italian foods, he's aggressively Italian. He's just kind of normally Italian after. So they bring out the food, and it looks like some kind of rice egg deal in a tin. And he immediately.
Bad.
Honestly, I was like, man, what are they complaining about? It's better than they got in the actual show. He takes his tin, hides it under his pillow immediately, doesn't even open it.
Oh, my God.
Gets back in line and takes another one. And
Jada sees him do it, yep.
And Jada's fucking pissed.
They're all, like, her they're and her buddies mad. Are all watching.
So like, he eats like, the first one, hides it under his pillow, eats the second one. Then he's grifting food off of people. People are like, oh, I'm finished with mine. He goes, I'll eat that. Yo, yeah, give me that. He eats, like, four times.
And you're like, this guy's a jackass. But you don't realize that he's the Joker until we go to his fucking head. And he's dressed in like a totally crocheted outfit. And he starts, he goes, I don't believe in the values of the corporate world. And he goes on this big, long spiel about how nothing matters. Morality, you shouldn't have any sort of moral, like, beliefs. Like, you should just do whatever because who fucking cares? He's the Joker. That's the Joker's ideas.
Sean just said all these things he said. I want you guys to know I didn't retain anything he said because I couldn't stop looking at his fucking outfit. I couldn't stop looking at his outfit. I just wrote his flower outfit is nutty. I didn't retain anything he said during that because I was just staring at the crocheted sunflowers on his bucket hat.
Like, okay, so I posted in our group chat that we have, like, I spoiler tagged it because it was before you had watched it.
Oh yeah.
I went, like, this motherfucker from the Squid Game reality show is devious. And it's him in the crochet. But the line he's saying in it is he's talking about, like, after the pandemic, the dream is completely shattered. Like, his thesis is that the pandemic was this, like, world-shattering event for him that made him lose faith in reality.
Oh my
and like
God.
The thesis of what he's saying is like, I learned from the pandemic that you shouldn't love anybody. You should never do anything like for moral reasons. Like you should just do whatever is best for you. He's like, you should give in to all of your like most hedonistic like ambitions and like desires. Like who fucking cares?
Right.
And I'm like, you're the Joker.
He's the Joker. Like, he's the absolute Joker. Like, Lorenzo.
And it seems like it's an easy, funny joke to make because he dresses weird in the talking head, but he literally, the way he talks is the fucking Joker.
Right. Like, no, for sure. 100%. moving forward, it's Rick's birthday and he's turning 69.
Okay. So they, before they go to bed. And as you said, like the last shot as they're going to bed is 4-3-2 doing pushups in the dark.
Yes. He's a psychopath.
But yeah.
So he's doing push-ups. They go to bed. They wake up. It's 232's birthday. Danny, that's when we get the shot of Danny in the picture you put in the podcast. Yeah. Kyle is also trying to justify to his crew. And the bearded guy at one point is like...
He's the fucking... he looks like the guy from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
The big ginger dude.
Yeah. And I wrote, they're the worst actors. They're terrible. They're so bad at, like, it's clear they're just trying to justify what they did to everybody else, and everybody's kind of like, no, we wouldn't do that. Now, those people are fucking lying, but,
yeah.
You know, like, oh, my God. So, as the people come out and they say, the squid men, what are those called?
I don't know.
It's been so long since I watched Squid Game, I don't know what those guys are called, but the guards with the PlayStation symbols on their face come out. And they announced that, hey, there was a test, and they chose to eliminate somebody. And the bearded guy looks at Kyle, and he goes, if you did this, I'm coming to America and hunting you.
He says, was that you? I'm going to hunt you if that was you, man. I'm going to find you in America. I'm going to hunt you forever.
Yeah. It was about this time that Kyle realized he had fucked up.
Yeah, dude. The look on his face.
Because this guy's a big guy. This guy's like a big bearded Viking man, and he's going to kill Kyle. But I love the way they chose to reveal this with the number spinning. I think
really
that,
good.
The tension that is created in that. Now I knew they picked number 200 because they're fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Because they talked about like three or four people and there's no way they're getting rid of Brighton because they're stupid. So I knew they got rid of 200. I just knew it.
And they were called workers, by the way. I just did a whole
workers. Okay, cool.
The whole thing.
So 200 is revealed, and everybody's kind of mad, and they cheer him on as he leaves. And Kyle goes, damn, y'all. Damn, y'all. Who fucking did that shit, brother?
Dude,
damn, y'all.
Did you see when I was hogging the camera and I was crying really, like, super fake, like... There's like, when they say that 200 got eliminated, it cuts to... Dash, like, or maybe it's just panning over the crowd and you see Dash and he's like hugging one of the people. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe 200 is gone. Like, I can't believe that this is happening
this
right now.
This guy I met for one day.
Like, you don't know him. Why are you crying? Why are you like this? Oh God, I love this so much. They're all insane.
Yeah. They cut to Danny's little like interview and she's like, you know, it's really, you know, I feel bad. I immediately feel bad, but that's another $10,000 in the bank.
I'm telling you, dude.
She kind of like waves her head like, that's another $10,000 in the bank.
I don't know. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to continue to do superhero, specifically DC analogies here. We're all like, she's like Catwoman, right? Like, she's a little like he, I think, again, I feel like he was kind of like, yeah, we're doing something together. Like, this is a fun thing. Like her and I are making this choice, like for us. And she's like, I'll fucking kill anybody.
Right.
She's
right.
She's like anybody. I'll fucking kill Kyle right now. Like, and I don't care. Like,
Kyle's lucky they gave them, like, they were peeling the carrots and they didn't have knives. That's what Kyle's like.
Yeah.
Kyle's lucky. She would have stabbed Kyle instantly. Yeah,
immediately.
So.
And they booed. Did you notice they booed when the fucking money fell in?
Yeah. They booed.
For him? That was crazy.
People booed because they're still trying to act like they wouldn't do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But that was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So then it's time for the next game.
And we get a really quick talking head. Oh, yeah?
The people are catching on to Kyle. There are people who don't know that are like, I did Kyle's reaction. And and Danny's right there. And she's like, oh, yeah. Kyle's reaction was pretty good. Yeah. So Kyle is going to get caught.
Immediately. I also really like, there was a, when they were talking about like going into the next game, we go to Adrian, who's 270, and he's this Aussie dude.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever hear from him before or after. So
I think
maybe
at one point
him, like,
he's like talking in the like to someone, because I remember hearing the Australian accent.
Okay.
But this is the first time we've met him and been given a name. Yeah. And he's talking
feels
about
like
the cookie game.
Probably
yeah.
be relevant.
Or the honeycomb
going
game.
Forward at some point. Yeah.
Right. But
and, yeah, this new game, they do such a good twist
so
on this.
So I was telling, you know, I think I said this earlier in the episode, I didn't know how they were going to do this because people know, right? They know that you don't want to get the umbrella. You'd prefer to get the circle or the triangle or even the star. And the umbrella is just bad. So what they do is they don't tell them what the game is. And they have people make four lines, the 1, 2, 3, and 4. Line up in your four lines. And number 98, this kind of ginger skateboardy fuck, decides, he's like, I'm feeling number 3. I'm going to go get in line with number 3. Yeah. I'm going to be first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huge mistake.
Huge mistake.
They bring them into the playground set. Dalgana is the name of the game. And I just typed out in caps, yikes, when I realized what they were having them do. That they had to pick, they had to each pick a shape and agree on it within 2 minutes. And they don't tell them, if you don't do this, you will die.
Yeah.
Right? But it's very fucking obvious what's going to happen. And it's, but it's brilliant. It's an absolute brilliant way of getting around the, oh, people know what this is going to be. No one in their right mind is going to pick the umbrella, right?
Yeah.
So they try to do it fairly. There's two girls and two boys, like girl, boy, girl, boy. But then the girl's like, no, I'm not fucking going to that umbrella.
Are you kidding me?
So 98 is the odd man out. He's like, I don't agree to this. I don't agree to this. And he's not going to agree. And then they fucking kill all four of them. which I typed fucking brilliant. All four die. And what's interesting to me is, do they always have those blood packs on them? They must.
I assume they put them on before the games.
Okay, so when they're walking through the like fucking MC Usher ass fucking thing, they go to a room where they put them on. That makes sense.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I don't think they have them on in the dormitory.
Right, that makes sense. So then everybody's watching this in the room, everybody that's lined up, and they're like, oh shit. So then they're like, hey, the next four people first in line are in next. And so they're like, each line is hyping them up, like, don't take the umbrella under any circumstances.
Yeah, yeah,
don't
yeah.
take the umbrella. Stick to the square or stick to the triangle. Don't take the umbrella.
And Matt Pat is like, oh, do you think it's going to get back here? And his mom goes,
I hope so.
I hope so. And I'm like, actually, kind of really
actually
smart.
Brilliant.
That means you've lost like 200 people. Like at that point.
Right.
Fuck it. I'll take the umbrella.
Exactly.
At that point.
Exactly.
You know?
So
there's like 12 of us left.
They get sent in and they're all like, you know, how do we figure this out? And one guy's like, can we race? And everybody's like, okay. So they all get over there. And one guy goes, go, and sprints way before the go. And
I think it was the guy that suggested it too. He goes, 1, 2, 3, go.
Yeah, he does the old playground trick of 1, 2, 3, go.
That's what it is. They're children.
Right.
That's what you just saying the playground thing. Everybody in the show is acting like children. That's right. What it is. That's what's so entertaining. It's like putting children into this game.
If they were like playing like a fighting game to determine it, one of them would be like, wait, hold on. I'm figuring out my moves. Wait, hold on. Don't hit me. Hold on. Yeah, yeah. And then you do a special move. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like it's that kind of childlike behavior.
Yeah.
And then as they're like trying to like, it's getting intense. The music's building and the episode ends.
It's such a good.
And I was like, man, this is just like Squid Game. They got me on a fucking cliffhanger, dude.
And I liked in that last group, 454 is like, guys, the game is to agree.
Yeah. He just keeps saying, the game is to agree. And I don't agree.
The game is to agree. So, like, my question is, what are you doing in this scenario?
Okay.
Like,
so
first of all, what's your argument? And second of all, if nobody's listening, what do?
So, you can't claim the triangle.
No. Because then you're an
asshole. Because if you claim the triangle, you're an asshole and you have a target on your back. So, I'm trying. Or no, I'm sorry. You can't claim the circle. So I'm trying to go for the triangle or the star.
Okay.
Because I think the star is actually doable. I don't think the star is that
bad.
Yeah,
I think so too.
The umbrella. Ooh, I am under no circle.
Yeah. No. Oh yeah, I'll get out. I'll take all four of us out before I take the umbrella.
Right. And I'm saying that, but now I'm sitting here like, I think I could do the umbrella.
Oh, here's my thing. Because I have the argument for it. And this would make me come across as a cool person, right? Is if I was in the fourth line, I take the umbrella. I'd go, okay, guys, look. We picked the lines at random. We didn't know what was going to happen. Let's say 1, 2, 3, 4 across. I'll take the umbrella. I was in the fourth line. Because I'm kind of a hero, right? Like, because I solved this thing. I'm like, let's
not to everybody that's in your line.
Yeah, well, fuck those guys. And I have a chance of maybe winning. But if I'm not... If I'm like in the 1, 2, or 3 and they're like, no, you have to be the umbrella, I'm letting all four of us die. I'm like, no, fuck you.
No, that makes logical sense. Yeah.
Unless, like the mom said, we're at the very end.
Yeah.
If there's like 30 of us left, I'll be like, all right, let's see if I can do this fucking umbrella.
Okay. I guess when I was thinking of the question for some reason, I was thinking about I die if I don't do this.
Yeah. No, you just don't get
the money. I don't
die.
I just don't get the money. So I would, if it meant either us getting like, not being able to compete, I'd do the umbrella.
Okay.
I wouldn't give up easily. I'd, like, last second run to the umbrella, you know? But I would do the umbrella.
Okay.
And I think I'd win.
Okay. I think you might win, too.
Honestly, you know, everybody else in my line, because I made the point, like, people in your line are going to be mad at you, but they're all going to fuck it up because they're going to fucking break the umbrella.
That's true.
I'm so interested to see how these people do with this.
I'm kind of mad.
I don't think this is good television to have 200 people laying on their stomachs with needles poking into a honeycomb.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think this is good television.
Here's what I'm going to tell you, Mike. I don't know if it's going to be 200 people by the time they get into that room.
That's true.
They might lose 40 people.
You're right.
I mean, you're losing. All it takes is, in that scenario, 10 people to say no and you lose 40.
Yeah. It's true.
You know?
It's true.
Like,
it's true.
I don't think the game is to agree. The game is to. I don't think he's going for it.
Yeah, I think they're gonna die. I think they're gonna die. I think so too.
Like,
okay, but to your point, even if we lose 40,
yeah,
this isn't good television.
Mm-mm.
It's good television in Squid Game because you can focus on what you want to focus on, and you wrote the story, right?
Yeah.
A bunch of people doing this, you know, I don't know how they're going to make this exciting. This part of it's exciting where they're trying to decide the shape.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to, because they can't like do like the cool close-ups and show the people hiding when they broke it.
Yeah.
Like they can't do that, right? So I'm very interested to see episode 2 and how that goes.
I'm wondering if they'll try to put more of a social aspect on it. Because that's kind of been the idea of this whole thing so far. And they've even said like, Kyle who kept saying it like, oh, now it's a social game. Like, and you don't know the social game. Like they made it a social game. And I wonder if they'll like add more interaction between the players or something during that one. Or
yeah, I think you're right. I don't think it can be just straight up them cutting the honeycomb.
Now, what I'm so upset about is we're recording this the day before Thanksgiving, and I have to leave early tomorrow to go to my grandparents' house for Thanksgiving, and all I want to do is watch the next episode. I want to do is keep watching it.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to watch the next episode after this recording.
Oh, my God.
I have to.
Maybe I watch one more.
And then we record one more episode? What the fuck?
Oh, that'd be kind of crazy. I don't know. I don't got to leave my house until like noon. I got time.
Yeah, dude, I got time. Fuck it.
I got time.
All right, guys. Do we do any? I'm so used to BoJack.
We vote to end it.
That's all we do, though?
I think, yeah. Well, we should probably come up with something. I think
okay.
we say
oh.
that we're going to come up with something every time.
Ooh, no. I got it. Who, based on what we know so far, is there someone who you think is going to win?
I feel like the winner's been introduced, right? Like, isn't that kind of like, I don't know. I don't watch enough reality television. I feel like,
this
you
is a different kind of
winner?
Show, though, you know? This is
I
a
guess,
different kind
yeah.
of show.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I'm going to say Danny wins.
You say Danny
wins. I think Danny's ruthless in a way that they haven't seemed to pick up on yet.
Okay. If it's someone that they've introduced by name, I'm going to go with your buddy Trey. I'm going to go with Matt Pat.
Ooh, okay.
But if it's somebody that they've just introduced by number, I really like 107, the guy that finished first in the red light, green light.
Okay.
The British guy. I like him.
Yeah.
They haven't really given him a name yet, which is very concerning for him. But I do like him.
I think also Adrian is a real contender because it's kind of weird that Adrian gets thrown in randomly here to explain this game.
He just had the best soundbite about
Dalgana. Yeah, probably.
He's like, you go cut the honeycomb, mate. You know, he was.
Yeah.
That is not.
I don't think
how
the Game
sounded.
Of Thrones guy is gonna win. It was
no.
close enough.
He's too nice. He's yeah. gonna take the umbrella.
Damn.
Yeah. Anyway, Sean, before we end this episode, where can people find you?
Okay. Before I do that, I don't like. If people want to watch along with us, I know that with like Netflix, it's hard because
that's true. We haven't really talked about what a cadence is for this.
Like, yeah. I mean, I guess we're just going to record whenever, probably, right? We want to get through it. I think
so
we're having
I'm
a fun
actually,
time.
I'm going to try to put this out on Thanksgiving.
Mm.
So if I did, happy Thanksgiving. If I didn't, happy late Thanksgiving. It's either going to be Thanksgiving or the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
I want to try and maybe get some involvement because we had that last time and it was fun. So what I might say is, if you're listening to this, and Mike said he'd hopefully get it up, you know, soon.
Yeah.
So hopefully, at most, we'd record like one more episode before this goes up. Join the Discord, and maybe we ping people and we get like a question because we did that with the first one. We were like, "What's your strategy for this game?" or whatever. Like, maybe we come up with a question to ask in the Discord, and you know, so if you join the Discord, then you can see the ping, and that way, you know.
We have a specific channel in the Discord. It's in the description called Squid Boys.
Instead of us trying to ask a question on the podcast and then there's not time for people to answer before we record the next one, maybe we ask in the Discord and just join that, and, you know, you can see the questions there.
I might make a separate Squid Game. Oh, we did make a Squid Game, the challenge one.
We did. Oh, we did?
Yes.
Okay. Oh,
yes.
We did.
We did. Because in May, and I tagged you saying it's coming in November.
Okay, yeah. Okay, well, so join the Discord that Mike will have linked or whatever. We'll talk about in a second. And we'll ping. We'll come up with some questions to put up as we're recording these to try and get some
interact with us,
well.
Please.
Interact, because I think it's always fun, especially with these kinds of things. What's your play like with picking the shape, you know?
Yeah.
Like I want to know.
Yeah.
That's something that we couldn't ask on the original show because you didn't get to pick.
Right.
Really, you know?
So what?
You didn't know.
Here's a scenario. That's what I want you guys to answer. If you're one of those four people, what are you doing? How are you getting through this scenario? Whether it's you're just saying, I'm picking a shape, and if we die, we die, or I'll take the umbrella last minute, or what's your strategy? What are you going to try to do? I want to hear
What argument might you try that you think is going to work?
Boy, girl, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I still think 1, 2, 3, 4 is like, especially if you're
fair.
Not four. You know, you're like, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, man, we already picked.
Right. Right. Anyway, so answer that question. Let us know. Sean, where can people find you?
You guys can follow me on Twitter at Sean_AFK.
And you can find me on Twitter at Spike Getty Bros. Thank you guys for listening and watching. Sean, I am agreeing to end this podcasting session.
I agree. Let's end it.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.